Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. Today has been quite a journey. I've been downloaded so much information on empaths. These are very special people. We're going to get into the meat of this. And if you are one of these types of people, you're going to probably experience this class and hopefully get a lot from it and try and understand yourself a little more. Because sometimes being an empath is not the easiest journey. It's a rough road for these types of people that do that. Before I get right into it, this episode is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers, I'm one of them, to talk about the various ways that we can raise our vibrations on a constant basis. There's all kinds of ways that we can do it, through yoga, tuning sessions if you come in, or if you get a reading from somebody, any kind of a way that you find insight that puts your perspective at a higher level. We do this through classes, whether it be through feng shui, whether it's healing through tuning forks that we use. We have singing bowls. We have various angel reading and angel tuning classes. And it's just a whole host of things that can keep our energy high. Our website is lovehigherself.com for those that are listening in on a podcast. So let's talk about an empath. What is an empath, first of all? Before we really get into this, today's color is purple. I got about three of these amazing shirts. I love wearing purple. It just keeps me light, you know. But purple is good. So if you have a crystal like amethyst or sugulite, there's various ones. There's fluorite. There's many ones that way. If you don't have any of those things, you can have an eggplant. Wear a purple skirt or a purple shirt or a purple t-shirt. Those are all great. The theme today, of all things, is despondence. You know what despondence is? It's like no action. You're not moving at all. And I said to Spirit, what an odd theme. Why would we talk about despondence? Because for empaths, despondence is your worst choice to make. We're going to be getting into a little bit about that and how we can mitigate that, okay? So just to give you an idea of what an empath is, the definition, it's a person, the definition through Webster, it's a person with paranormal abilities to perceive the mental and emotional state of another individual. So in other words, what they feel, you feel. If they feel angry, you feel the anger. If they feel good, you feel that good. And so, you know, there are some great advantages to know and to be able to feel this. It is not so much paranormal. It's just an energy that we all have. Some people are just more connected to it. That's all. But in that, it's all about feeling that energy from a different perspective. But empaths have been put on this earth for a specific reason. And they are really the trailblazers of this whole thing because they will bring in a level of order and harmony and a sense of action and urgency to this world. So how do they do that? Well, if you could feel someone else's energy and they have like ill will and they want to be able to scam you in some way, you'll see it a mile away. It's almost comical. So there's some great advantages to being an empath when you can feel what the other person's feeling. You can feel that if the person says, yes, I'm fine, and you feel, no, you're not. What's going on? These are what you would get from a best friend. Somebody says, so hi, Judy, how you doing? I'm feeling okay. So, okay, what's going on? Because they just feel it's completely different, and you don't want to bother anybody, eh? So an empath is good that way because they feel that there's something going on and they care. These are incredibly compassionate, caring people. And the thing is that they feel the pulse and the vibration of people and they can detect if someone's lying, as they said. But they can also detect the hurt. If someone just hurt them, some boyfriend or girlfriend just left them, they are devastated, you know, because the biggest thing that they fear is abandonment of all things. They have no limits. They have no boundaries. They're afraid that people are going to leave them for whatever or whoever for. But it is all about getting them to a point where they can be comfortable in their own skin. One of the things, the opposite of being an empath is a narcissist or a what they call manipulator, a person who just wants to get something from you. They're trying to manipulate you in some way. And an empath can feel that. But in some way, they're at a point where they're naive. They're a little innocent, right? And they try to say, oh, I can help this person. I can clean them up. I can help. And they don't. It doesn't work that way. You can't change another human being because they are constantly committed to being misunderstood. They're constantly committed to being all over the place. And they're not showing up to be changed. They're showing up to get something from other people that way. So if you were able to, let's say, combine an empath with a narcissist, by the way, there's no such thing. There isn't, because it's on the opposite end of the scale. But let's say, just hypothetically, you were able to create a person that's an empath and they're also a narcissist. What would happen there is, as they're trying to manipulate another person, that person will be able to feel the hurt they are at that moment causing to another person. In other words, what they're doing right now, they can feel that it's hurting the other person, and it's a complete conflict. Okay, that's why there's no such thing. You can't have a narcissist, because narcissists only care about themselves. You know, what's in it for me? Not only that, you might have done something for them yesterday, but what are you going to do for me today is their attitude. With an empath, it's a completely the opposite. Everything they do is for other people. You could ask something from this morning and they would want to give something again to you in the afternoon. In other words, you're constantly giving, giving. No boundaries, as I said. And there's some drawbacks to that. The first thing is, empaths go through a transformation, a very, very specific transformation. When they first come onto this earth, they have all these great intentions that they're going to change the world by just giving love to everyone and everything. But not everybody wants that. I know. I was surprised too. Some people are just not here to change. Some people are not here. They're just here to remind you of what happens to somebody that decides not to change. We talked about that in the last episode, where we talked that some people are actually brought to this earth knowing that they will never change because they want to show what it's like when you never change. There's evidence of it. So that's not their point, is to come to have you change them. That's why it doesn't work. There are two stages in an empath in their transformation. The first stage, of course, is the obvious one. They're naive. They call it the naive innocence stage. And then they go through the series of things and other things that happen that go into what they call awakening the strength stage. But in the beginning, what they do is, their first thing is that they want to be able to make everybody happy. They're very happy-oriented. As long as someone's happy, that is their goal. They have a very acute cycle until the narcissist, because that's what narcissists look for. They look for people that are easily manipulated, that they're so open. I mean, these are the type of people that will slap a person in the face and then tell you that you hurt their hand. And then you feel bad. That's the kind of people we're talking about, you know, like narcissists aren't all like that, but I'm just giving you the extreme. And empaths like that because they want to be able to change the world. They want to be able to give someone love, because their definition is, if somebody is that angry, maybe it's because they didn't get enough love when they were younger. Maybe they didn't get enough attention when they were younger. And actually, it's the exact opposite. Oftentimes, we see narcissists have always been attentive. Are you okay? Okay, what do you want for your birthday? Oh, you want bike? Well, we can get you a car. Well, I want that too. And we get you a car. The next day, they crash it up. It's okay, we'll get you another car. So attention is not the problem. That's what made them this entitled narcissist in the first place. In other words, they were in no shortage of attention. They got the attention because they manipulated their way through, and after their parents, they continue the pattern. Just to give you a picture of what happens when an empath meets a manipulator, because they hit them very hard, because they know they can treat them like garbage, and the empath will just go through that stage. But in the process of that innocence, or that being naive, An empath goes through a transformation, and at one point, they are betrayed, they are emotionally abused, and it shatters them completely. We call it the Phoenix Syndrome. You remember the Phoenix, the story about that is when the bird itself burns to ashes and then comes from the ashes a stronger bird. And it's nothing like the original. So from the ashes comes this amazing energy. That's why when empaths get to that point where they actually desecrated, they're just so let down and they have nothing. No self-esteem. They think they're nothing. They think everything they've done is a waste of time. They are just really shattered. And they don't know what to do. They're at this point where it's like, I have nothing. And from that, the next stage of that, from that destruction, it leads to a very unique transformation for these people where they start rebuilding. They start to set boundaries. They start to have self-respect, self-worth. Emotional intelligence starts coming in. They're no longer this naive little boy or little girl that can be manipulated or wheeled in any direction other people want you to be. They're now empowered empaths. This is where the awakened strength stage kicks in, where they have strength in all of that. They have that compassion. However, it is not exploitable. They can see it a mile away because they have seen this movie before. They have seen this voice and they've seen this pattern before. So they say, nope, that's it. So they have limits. At that point, they see a narcissist a mile away. They can really spot them and either they'll avoid them or, and we'll talk about this a little later, they actually are attracted to them for different reasons. But they adapt to this world by staying an empath. I mean, so many times when empaths get to this stage where they're desecrated, they have no worth, they have no self-image, they're just totally left by the side of the road, so to speak, is that they figure, I don't want to be an empath anymore. This is a curse. This sucks, okay? It gets really bad. Because I've had empaths over the years, and I've seen them at different stages, but I've also seen them past this stage. And it's absolutely amazing. They say, you know what? If I have this ability, we're going to move this through, and I'm going to use my power so that I can have this ability to use my feminine energy or use my masculine energy in a perfect combination so that it will serve me. It will be now my way of working with energy. All right, they learn to adapt, and now they have powers they didn't know they had before because they were too busy pleasing people. We're not doing that anymore. Now, when a need comes up, they feel it. Okay, I can give, but then there's a limit. Then if all of a sudden there's gratitude that comes from it, then they'll give a little more. In other words, it's not just a blank check like before. You give and you give and you give, and you only realize after 3 months they've been using you the whole time. And that's devastating for empaths because they don't understand. Why aren't they grateful? Because you never stop to reassess whether or not what you're doing is helping them. So the secret is, when you get to this point where you just totally are down and you're reinventing yourself or a new version of yourself, it's absolutely important with the theme. Despondency, that's got to go. In other words, it's all about action. It's all about moving forward and deciding to do something. It's just acting. In any way, whether it's body action, where you sign up for a gym, you sign up for a dance class, you sign up for something to start, number one, get you moving. In that process, you realize, hey, I can do this. I can do this. Here's the thing, while we're on this subject, the reason they go through that transformation is something that I was told very recently. And I tried to Google it, and I couldn't get it validated because I guess the world doesn't know yet, or it hasn't been said in this way. But what actually happens, Spirit says, is that when we burn to nothing, you know, like the phoenix, is just ashes left over, and people say, now I have nothing, it's the exact opposite. What burned away was the guilt, the shame, the anger, all the things that you didn't need and want. And all that's left over is love, compassion, gratitude in ash form. In other words, it's pure. All the crap was burned off. And when you take those ashes energetically and you bring them back into your body, you're authentic. You're pure. That's where you get the strength, because now you're not clouded by so many other distractions. This is how they make maple syrup, by the way. They take maple syrup, like 40 gallons of maple syrup, and they fire it and they steam it out so it goes down to like 5 gallons or something. I'm not sure what the ratio is, but they bring it down and then it's nectar. It's so sweet and it's so great because the water isn't needed. So they get rid of the water. So in that analogy, when you burn and you lose everything, when the intelligence of what's left over, you look at it and you say, I have nothing left. It's actually not that they get insulted. Energy doesn't get insulted. It's always like this. When are they going to see us? In other words, you see things that are burned off that you didn't need. You didn't know this, but you see all the things that got burned off. Now you just have ashes and it's like gold. It's just like energetic gold nuggets, but you're only seeing ashes. Until you meet a person like myself or another empath that's gone through it, and they say, hey, just take those ashes and put them in your heart. Put them in your soul. Put them everywhere. Because that's what you need. That's what, like, it's like giving a fantastic fertilizer and a big jump to a plant. It gets all the nutrients it needs. And man, does it grow fast. What you might have gone through in 6 months to try and get yourself up, you'd be up and around in a month or a few weeks. That's the power, is to be able to see these ashes as something very special. So look at it as, this is your purity. This is your authenticity. This is your power. You know, one of the things I've seen is when empaths walk into a room, you know, they can detect, especially a good empath, so people that have been through this and they've gone through that active strength process, they can detect the room. They can read the room almost immediately. They know where the happy people are. These are the people that high five, and that's where the light is, the joy. But that's not where you think they're going to go. You think they might want to go there because they've gone through all of the other stuff and they're fed up and they don't want to have anything to do with negative energy. But the good ones, they look at the room and they try to pick out the narcissist, the manipulators, the energy vampires, all these people, and they go to them first. Why? Because they know something that perhaps others don't. One of the things is they know that every minute that they spend with an energy vampire, that they can handle their energy, they are not with a naive person that is on the brink of perhaps suicide. They're on the brink of just totally going in the opposite direction. They know. So they're going to go to those people first because they're taking the bullet for you. So for all those empaths that are out there, I just want to acknowledge, because Spirit wants to very much thank you all for taking the bullet for these people. These are the people that are knowledgeable about the crap and they see it a mile away. But they also see this very innocent person, and if a manipulator gets at that person, although they have to crash and burn, yes, that is true. However, with some people, they'll take that as, oh, I'm nothing. I don't have anything more to live for. And they don't want them back home. In other words, heaven doesn't want you if you still have work to do. And an empath knows that. So they go to this manipulator to waste their time, to say, I'm all about you, and can I do something for you, in faking it, basically, and wasting their time. As soon as they realize that the party's over and everything else is done, then they say, have a nice day. Because they save someone else from being in a point where they're extremely vulnerable. You're going to be vulnerable anyway. This is the thing, is they don't want you in a place where you're going to be in that place. So they take on those people because they've already gone through the transformation. They understand the process, the good, active empaths. And I've seen a few of them, and they're amazing when they've gone through this process. In a sense, if you built a business based on anger or based on guilt or based on any other lower energy you can think of, not love, love is very sort of universal. If you didn't build it on love, you're going to lose it. You will. You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose everything you own. You're going to lose anything that's been built on guilt. been built on, I need somebody, so I need to build up this thing. And you will, because based on anger and based on sheer will, you will build it. But when it comes right down to it, you're going to end up losing it all if you get to this point. And that's okay. Because once you gather up those ashes, again, I haven't been able to verify this, but I trust spirit. If you gather up this ashes and put it back inside of yourself, you will grow that business that might have taken you 10 years. Within 1 year, you'll have it back more than what it was before. Because good plants works on good nutrition. They work on the place that is going to be the most nutrient place that there is. Empaths are here to really wake up the world to the corruption and all of the illusions that we have, the mind control, the people that all they are thinking is what they can suck out of you. And I'm saying that in the most respected way because that is what they do. So I don't want to sugarcoat that. Knowing that, we can offset this effect. Knowing that, okay, if that's what they are doing, is that's what they're brought here for, then we can totally get through this in a point that we understand how this is all going to work. They fight back by upgrading themselves. They don't fight back directly because they know better. They upgrade their self so that their energy is impenetrable. And at 3 a.m. when they get woken up by whatever energy it is, within a few seconds, they just know what to do because they are also connected to their higher self. They're connected to Mother Nature and they're impenetrable. Because now they have limits, not like before. And so that is the whole thing. But here's the other thing about it. Empaths can make the best healers on this planet. They can. They're amazing when they do it right. But you also got to realize that on the other side, they can also create more problems. And they can be one of the worst healers only because the fact that you can feel somebody doesn't necessarily mean that's what they need to bring them out. A good example, with the very ones example we told you about, when an empath hits a Control-Alt-Delete and they hit this Phoenix syndrome, where everything gets burned, that's when they grow after. So if a person is just about to hit that point, an empath would say, oh, you're really in a bad relationship right now. I can see that there's so much stress. I feel your pain. I feel your anger, and I feel that you need help. Let me help you. So let me get you out of that environment, put you in a hotel, or come to our place. And the very thing that that person needs isn't what they're feeling, because now they're not going to burn because you intervened. I mean, who would like to have a crash test dummy that doesn't feel whatever it's going to feel? Like, let's say the crash test dummy has been designed so that when it hits a wall, they can measure if the finger was broken or if the legs were broken in that impact. That's what a crash test dummy does. It's there to be able to make the vehicle safe for us in a simulation of what would happen when it hits a brick wall at 80 kilometers an hour. It has to be at that speed so they could measure the safety factor and maybe bring up the airbag and maybe make some modifications to the car so it can have a greater impact factor. But let's say at the last second, you hit the brakes and it slides about 20 feet before it hits the wall. Well, that's not what it's designed for. You don't want the measurement of what a person would go through, because if they're going 80, in that 20 foot, they're going to get down to 50 or 40 kilometers an hour before it impacts. But you need 80. As hard as it is to watch, sometimes we have to let people hit this wall. They have to hit rock bottom. They have to. That's when your work starts. And sometimes empaths have a little problem detecting that. They want to go right in and help because they're feeling the pain. But here's the thing. As good as you might be in feeling the pain of someone else, there's another language that empaths have access to, but they don't ask. And that is, what is the body saying that it needs? In other words, I feel the frustration that you're being abused. I feel the injustice. I feel all of this. When I ask the body, what do you need? And 9 times out of 10, it just said, leave me alone. just support me, hold my hand, be encouraging, be loving. And then if you need my help at whatever time, I can call you at 3 a.m. Absolutely, you can. That's it. Even though you know it's not going to end well over the short term, but over the long term, they need to hit this wall. I know it's really, really hard to watch, especially if your own kids or your best friend. But if you are an empath, find out and feel what the person is going through, but then also ask the body, what do you need? Because when I ask that, the answer and the solutions are completely the opposite. The empath would say, I'd move right in to help them. And I would say, no, not right now. You don't need it right now. You need to hit this wall because that's where the ashes are. We got to get these ashes. We got to get everything burned off. And this will do it. So yes, it will still continue the abuse and still continue the whatever. And all you need to do is support. That's it. Your work has not started until they hit this wall, until they hit rock bottom. Because when they hit rock bottom, they have a choice. So whether or not they hit rock bottom and then only up is the way that they can go, or some people will be despondent and find a jackhammer to go deeper. That was really unfair what this person did to me, right? And so go in that way. But that's not what's needed. Yes, it has been an injustice. Yes, it wasn't fair. All the things you're talking about is absolutely correct, and spirit knows it. But this isn't about that. It's about you getting rid of everything. To do that, we have to lose everything. This is probably the biggest signs of love. And that makes the healer completely different league. Is my work hasn't started until they hit this wall. So of those that are feeling it, you also have access to their body language if you ask. Just say to the body, what do I need? What can I do? And if in that zone, the body is saying, yep, I need to just get rid of everything. So just stay close. Your real work hasn't happened yet. Until they come to your door and everything is done and they've lost everything, now we can help. It's not easy to see, but it's not about you. It's not about how you're taking it. They're the ones that's going through the physical pain, the mental anguish, and all the other tragedy and the trauma that they have to absorb. But for right now, they have to hit this wall. That's what Spirit says. Sometimes we don't let our kids or don't let our best friends hit this wall because we want to help. And it isn't about that. I found a quote just before we head into the meditation, which I thought was very appropriate for this. And it says, if you look closely, you'll notice that the real ones, the real empaths, have smaller circles. Smaller circles of friends, smaller circles of the people they connect to, louder love. They are stronger in their integrity, deep presence, and a greater peace. The world glorifies expansion, progress, but the magic is in the refinement. So to all empaths, trim what drains you, protect what nourishes you, prioritize depth over breadth, quality better than numbers. Because in the end, it's not about how much you have, it's about how much of it is real. In this meditation, we're going to play the Eye of the Storm. This is a really fitting energy in the sense that an empath is usually doing things and you're alone. You're by yourself. If you look at what storm is, of those of you that weren't there for some of the segments, the Eye of the Storm is the circle when you look on a topographical satellite pictures where you see this massive storm and in the middle there's this opening. They call that the Eye of the Storm because if you go into that opening down to the earth, it's just gentle winds are blowing, if any wind at all. The sun is out. It's beautiful. And everything around you is, wow, drama like you cannot believe. You can only believe the devastation around you. So the idea is you're in that eye of the storm and you're by yourself and you're working your energy and it's moving like any storm moves. If you stay stagnant, the storm comes to you. So it's all about mobility. It's all about moving, action, getting yourself going. And that is exactly what empaths need when they hit rock bottom, is they need to start moving. They need to start moving forward, maybe physically at first. So if you know a person that's a good trainer, get a hold of them first. Get their body moving first. Their mind will start to come after. So it's all about moving. It's all about getting out there. So you can't stay stagnant, because the storm, even though you're in a beautiful place right now, within 15 minutes, the storm is upon you, moving at 200 miles an hour. Fridges are flying. Transport trucks are being turned over, end over end sort of thing. So the idea is to be in peace, but moving. And you're in concession there. So in this meditation, I want you to see yourself in this point that you've lost everything. Maybe this is something that already has happened to you, or if you're going through this process now, you just need to get to this point where you hit rock bottom, and now you're moving towards whatever peace that you are, because as long as you are underneath that eye, you have peace. So it's a moving target in a sense. You always want to be in that peace. So I want you to see, by going in there, and see what comes up. If it's something that you've already been through this, go back as a sort of a reminder and see what additional insights will come to you in this.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You can also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.